Good morning. My name is Dave Dishman. I'm a fellow member of Calvary here with you all. My wife and I have been members for about 25 years. I work with CRU, or Campus Crusade for Christ. We work with faculty, primarily faculty and graduate students in this area and in missions around the world. And I get to be here and take us through the next little bit of 1 Corinthians for our time this morning. Very happy to be here. Very excited to be here. As we start, before I'm going to read a passage, it's short. Before I read it, I want you to think about a person or persons in your life who really influenced you to follow Jesus. And maybe you're not sure if you're following Jesus right now, but they're influencing you in some way. So who's someone that influenced you in the past to really put your faith in Christ or follow him? And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 14 through 21. If you have your Bible, you can pull it out of your device or whatever you read on. And I'm going to read from my big Bible because it's got big words in it. I'm going to read from the New International Version, and on the screen is going to be the English Standard Version. But I kind of like the two versions at one time. You can think about some of the different words. So let me read for us. And Paul, remember, Paul's writing to a church in Corinth that is going through all sorts of challenges and difficulties that we've been talking about, and he's continuing in some of that today. Paul writes, "I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit?" So you think about guides and fathers he talks about in this passage. So who is someone who fathered or mothered, we can say it that way, fathered or mothered you in your faith, first introduced you to the ways of Jesus? When I thought about this, I thought of two different men. The first was a gentleman named Mr. Bookout. He was a Sunday school teacher. I grew up in southern Missouri in the Ozarks and went to the small church. My parents took us, and he was a Sunday school teacher for 5th and 6th grade boys. And he was great with the group, 8 or 10 boys, loud, rowdy, let us be boys as boys are. And he was famous for his, you might call him a sword drill, Bible study. Look up the verse, you guys know this? Look up the verse in the Bible, the first one there, you know, and read it out loud, won bragging rights. There were no prizes, but just got to hold it over the others. And so these got really rowdy. We had pages torn in our Bible, you know, by flipping through. And he always finished everyone with Obadiah 1:1. You guys know it? Obadiah 1? The vision of Obadiah. And it was in the King James. So that's how we did it. So I'll read you the verse just so you know it. The vision of Obadiah. "Thus saith the Lord God." Imagine 10 fifth grade boys screaming this verse. "Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We've heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle." Obadiah 1:1. That's really not the text today, but that was his action. So with Mr. Bookout and we're doing this, and I enjoyed the class, but I also learned from him my need for Jesus. He talked about Jesus every week. He talked about our need to follow him. He talked about how much Jesus loved us. And as that sank in, several boys in the class came to follow Jesus from that time. Well, the other gentleman I think of, well, at the same time, I started playing football. It was in fifth grade. And I was a peewee pirate, just so you're all clear. And it was the youth program. And it wasn't a big town, or there wasn't a big program, but we would practice and scrimmage and things. And the man that led the program was named Mr. Perry, or Coach Perry. And Coach Perry loved football. He just loved everything about football. If you knock someone over, he loved it. What a pretty hit. If you got knocked over, he loved it. Oh, you're what a great stop. You know, that kind of, he just loved everything about it. I learned some things from Mr. Perry. I learned that you called the coaches Mr. or Coach. You didn't call them by the first name. I learned not to cuss. No profanity in Pee Wee Pirates, at least around Mr. Perry. And I learned to get back up when you get knocked down, which is a great lesson, you know, of youth sports. But at the end of the season, Mr. Perry set all the boys down in the park talking, and he talked to us about Jesus, the most important person in his life. And he talked to us about faith in Christ. He told us that he had been praying for the roster of boys by name, individually by name, all season, for each one of us, that we would come to know Jesus. And actually, I found this out later, after he passed away, he kept those rosters and prayed for them for years and years and years. Sorry, I get choked up. For years and years and years, for all the boys and at least one girl that was in the program. And so he prayed for those. He prayed for us. He prayed for us there, and he gave us a New Testament. Here's mine right here. Okay, 50 years later, one of the fathers of my faith. So think about yours. Who are your fathers of your faith? Who are the mothers of your faith that first introduced you to Jesus? Mr. Bookout really helped me see my need for Christ. Mr. Perry helped me see that Jesus encompassed a lot more than church. You know, encompassed things I like doing. You know, Jesus and football, what a great combo. I learned it at a young age. These men fathered me in the faith. Also, Paul also mentions guides or guardians. I like the two different ways that's used in the two different translations. Guides or guardians. A guide is anyone who influences your faith. Anyone living or dead who influences your faith. I went on to college, to the University of Missouri. I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. I had many guides in my faith. A couple of students, Chuck and Darrell, were guides in my faith. A couple of the staff members, Rick and Dave, guided me in the faith. My wife, who's here this morning, is a guide in my faith. Calvary Bible Church is a guide in my faith. The worship, like we had this morning, is a guide. Our time of prayer guides us in our faith. The sermons we hear. My wife and I are part of a home group Bible study. They guide us in our faith. Authors from the past guide us in our faith. C.S. Lewis and Timothy Keller are two of my favorite Christian authors. Both of Timothy Keller more recently deceased. But they guide me in my faith as I read their thoughts and their arguments about Christianity. And of course, the ultimate guide to our faith is the Holy Scripture, right? This is our guide to how we believe and what we do and how we live our faith. But you know, a lot of things guide us in our life. We have a lot of influences in our life. If I can get preachy, I'll just say it this way. We have lots of influences and influencers in our world. One of them is right here. Do you have a phone? If you have a phone, you can pull it out. This may be the worst illustration ever in church, but if you have a phone and want to look at it, you can do it right now, because I'm going to look at mine. And so on your phone, on my phone, are a lot of things that influence me and distract me. A lot of apps. I'm a news junkie. So I have on my phone, I have the AP News app, I have the BBC News app, I regularly read CNN News, I read Fox News, and I read a variety of other news outlets. I'm a total junkie, I'll admit it. So they influence me, right? Those things I read influence me, sometimes in good ways, because I think, I could say very piously that it helps me pray for the world. So sometimes it does. Sometimes it sends me down a spiral like, what in the world is going on? I don't know what I'm doing. They influence me. These things influence us. The things on our phone. What we watch on television influences. What we watch on Netflix or any of the other streaming services perhaps we're paying for and don't really realize it. They influence us. Who do you follow on social media? You know, who do you follow on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook or LinkedIn or any of these things, X, formerly known as Twitter. Who do you follow that influence? These are influences in our life, even subtle. What habits do we have that we pursue that pull us from the Lord? You know, later in this same letter, Paul will write to this church a line you've heard before. He says, bad company will corrupt good character. Bad company corrupts good morals, we sometimes see. But Paul wrote that for this very reason, and to this church that's dealing with influences from all over the place that are corrupting their character. Okay, to look back at verse 16, Paul says, I became your father through the gospel. And then he says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me, to imitate me. The word imitate comes from the same root where we get our word mimic. So Paul is saying, I urge you to mimic me. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were with we have one granddaughter, almost 2 years old, and we were with her, watching her, and we went to the playground with a bunch of other kids. And so a two-year-old wants to follow the bigger kids around doing whatever they're doing, right? So if one went down a slide, she wanted to go down that slide. The kid turned around and walked up the slide, she wanted to try to walk up the slide. Someone hung from a high bar, she wanted to hang from that exact high bar, so you have to hold her up. There was a water feature going at the park. If a kid bent over to get a drink, she bent over in the puddle to get a drink. That's just, and as a grandpa, it's like, it's okay. You know, probably good for her, right? Get a little dirty water. But she mimicked the older kids. She wanted to do what they do. And Paul is using that kind of language. Imitate me. But I think about that because Paul was intense. Here's a few lines earlier in the same chapter. He writes this. He says, we are fools for Christ. We are weak. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We're in rags. We're brutally treated. We're homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Not necessarily someone I want to mimic when I think about my life. But Paul's speaking here to humility. He's speaking here to trusting God despite our circumstances, to following God where he takes us, to trust God despite how we're treated, to pursue the Lord through life. He's talking about a long obedience in the same direction is what Paul is talking about, to follow him, to mimic him, to imitate in that way. Verse 17, Paul writes, for this reason, I urge you to imitate me. He says, for this reason, I've sent you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, who remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So think about Timothy, sent to help them imitate Paul. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul's last letter, he's writing to Timothy, and he writes this note to him. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So Timothy came to faith through his grandmother and his mother, the mothers of his faith. Their legacy lived on through Timothy. There's no mention of Timothy's father, actually, in the scriptures, which is interesting. His father was thought to be Greek, of Greek descent, and not necessarily a follower of the Lord. So he came to faith through his mothers. Now he guides this church, and he's going to guide this church in Corinth as he guided others in the New Testament the period. Which leads me to think, who are you and I? Who are you and I perhaps influencing today? Like Lois and Eunice influenced their grandson and son, who are we influencing today? What child or neighbor or coworker, fellow student are we influencing with our faith? Who's around us that maybe we don't even know we're influencing, but they're noticing us and watching us? I want to show you all a video about a professor. It's with the group we work with. A professor who came to faith a few years ago now. But I want you, it's about a 4-minute video, so you can settle in and watch. I want you to notice the influences, the people who influenced him in the faith, and get a look at his life. So
my name is Richard Seaman, and I'm a professor of law. If you want my full title, it's a Margaret Shimke Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of Idaho College of Law. And I have taught there for 10 years, and I graduated a long time ago from Duke Law School, and I have undergraduate and master's degrees from Johns Hopkins University. And I came to Christ on August 10th, 2018. I surrendered my life to Christ on August the 10th, 2018. And it wasn't the result of any life crisis. It was primarily the result of three people in one book. And the first person chronologically was a student of mine named Bobby. And it took Bobby 6 years to go through law school. Most people go through in three. It's always hard to go through law school, but Bobby went through law school under some of the most difficult circumstances I've ever been familiar with. During the course of her law school career, she went through three bouts of cancer with her husband. The third bout of cancer killed him. He died from that. And but everybody around Bobby was so amazed by her strength and determination and her good heart. And they would ask her, how do you do it? And she would say, I don't do it, God does it. And I came to know Bobby initially because I was assigned to be her faculty mentor. But as it turned out, she really mentored me by showing me just how much hope and strength and peace God gives to those who believe in him and his son, Jesus Christ. And I have thanked Bobby for being really a light to me, shining God's glory everywhere around her. And I know I'm not the only one. So she was one person. And the second person is my friend George. And I came to know George because he's a lawyer and we've worked on legal cases together. One day we were on a long drive through Utah to visit a client. And George shared how he had come to Christ many years before. And he said that he was at a low point in his life and he was out riding his bike one day and he heard the words in his head, read the book. And he knew what book was being referred to there. So he started reading the Bible and before long he came to Christ. And he shared other things in his life about his relationship with Jesus. But what stuck with me were the words, read the book. So I started reading the book. And for the first time, the words of God spoke to me in a direct and personal way. And I really understood that this was the word of God. And this was God sharing his word with us, of his plan for us, and the role that Jesus played in that plan. And I was in the process of reading the book when the third person came along, and that was Ralph Cooley, a member of Faculty Commons West, member of CREW. Ralph knocked on the door of my office one day. The first time I met Ralph, he came to the door with a thank you note from a student. And we had coffee a couple of times, and Ralph eventually asked me, well, where are you on your spiritual journey? And I felt like I'd made some progress at that point. But Ralph and I got together many, many hours, and Ralph taught me how to read the Bible, and more importantly, he taught me how to pray. And pray for Jesus to come into my life. And those prayers worked, and as I said, I surrendered my life to Christ now about 17 months ago. So I feel so incredibly blessed by the way that God used these three people in his book to lead me to him.
Very cool, right? Yeah, three people and one book. So you saw these people that came into his life, Bobby, young woman going through law school who lost her husband to cancer, and her faith, her attitude through that tragedy, difficult time. And you see George, his colleague, coworker, that talking about his faith, encouraging him to read the book, read the Bible. Then Ralph, the campus minister who comes into his office and starts connecting with him about prayer and leading him to Christ. We never know how God might be using our faith. Even if it seems insignificant or inconsequential, God can use our faith where he puts us. Fathers and mothers, guardians and guides. So I think some questions to ask that I ask myself is, who am I influencing? Who might be around me that I'm influencing? For good or for bad, but I can influence them in some way for Christ as I live my faith. Who's influencing me? What positions and places am I putting myself? Another way to think about this, maybe a way to phrase it, is who do I want to be around in order to be influenced by them? Who do I want to be around in order to be influenced by them? And my encouragement, of course, is get around good people. Make that to the people you're around. Along with Sunday morning services, you know, Calvary has mentoring ministries, small group Bible studies, men and women's Bible studies, service opportunities. My wife and I joined a team a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, serving the refugees. We have this refugee ministry here, I'm sure you've heard of, and some of you have been involved with. Two Afghan families that came, and we helped them get acculturated into a society. So a team of Calvary did that, all to say. We joined that team. We met some fantastic people. I don't know how else to say it. Some fantastic people that we would not have met any other way than joining that service team. It was phenomenal. I don't use the word blessing very much. It's a pretty religious-y word, but it certainly has been for us. So I encourage you to find some people like that. Find good people to hang with. There's a lot of good people in this room. And I would say this. I would also encourage you to meet people, be encouraged by people in the flesh, not just people we know virtually beyond, but meet people you know face-to-face and spend time with them, good people. So Paul closes this passage with a word about power. Down in verse 20, he's talking about people and they're arguing in the church, but he says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." And we're in a political season right now where there's lots of talk, right? Really interesting. I got all the apps. I know all about it. There's lots of talk. But the kingdom of God is about power. And Paul's life teaches us that power is found in, it's found in the Lord. Power's found in our weakness. It's found in our humility and our trust in the Lord. It's found in our reliance on the Lord. It's found in our times of prayer in the Lord like we had this morning. That's where true power lies. Just like power reached God's power reached a law professor in Idaho. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to step down in a second. Before they come up and close the service, I want to show you. I have a gift for you if you'd like. And I wrote this book a few years ago called Seers, Sayers, Schemers, and Saints. It's about influencers in the scriptures. It's kind of about the thing we're talking about. Influencers, good and bad. So we have some copies outside at the welcome desk if you'd like one free. They're free, so you can take one as you go. Fathers, mothers, guardians, and guides. That's the people in our life, and that's who we are in other people's lives as we trust the Lord to use us in that way. Let me pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you for men and women here today. Thank you for their desire to know you, all of our desire to know you, Lord, our desire to come closer to you. And we thank you for a place to do that. Just pray for your wisdom now as we go and as we serve you and go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.